Hi, I'm Dave Summers, and welcome to AMA's Edgewise, where you will hear fresh insights from recognized thought leaders across a wide range of subject matters. AMA's Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. The AMA is a global leader in professional development and education, improving the immediate performance and long-term growth of individuals and organizations. Check us out on our website, www.amanet.org. Today we'll be spending time with Andy Cernovitz, author of Word of Mouth Marketing. Andy is co-founder and former CEO of the Word of Mouth Marketing Association, an organization that uses the latest innovations in blogs and buzz to build a prosperous word of mouth marketing profession based on best practices, measurable ROI, and ethical leadership. Welcome to the program, Andy. Andy, when we talk about word of mouth marketing today, it looks like more and more action is taking place in blogs, chat rooms, and other places online. I mean, has the internet basically taken over the role of traditional word of mouth?
Word of mouth probably happens more offline than online. It's easy to talk about blogs and websites and then MySpace and YouTube because these things are sexy and they're very visual. And you can look at a MySpace page and see how it works. But in reality, so much word of mouth happens in normal conversations between people. And I'll give you an example. You go to a restaurant. The next day, you tell everybody around the water cooler in the office. One of them emails a friend. So that's where it goes online. That friend may email a few others and take them to the restaurant. One of them may post a review online, and someone else may blog it. Someone else reads that blog and tells their spouse in person. So it's dipping in and out of online and offline. It's a multimedia phenomenon.
Okay, give me one of your favorite word-of-mouth marketing campaigns.
One of my favorites is the Red Envelope catalog. This is a nice catalog and website that sells pretty high-end gifts. But if you think about it, lots of catalogs sell gifts. But what Red Envelope does is they ship out those gifts in these gorgeous red boxes with these gigantic ribbons and bows, and it's just the most extraordinary packaging. So when people get this box at a wedding shower or a birthday party, the whole room looks and says, wow, where did that come from? And that's a fascinating moment, because normally we talk about the gift, but because of this extraordinary packaging, we talk about the merchant. So it's a product designed for word of mouth.
When you set goals for a word-of-mouth marketing campaign, are they different from traditional goals?
Sometimes they're the same. You want referrals that convert into sales. Sometimes you just want referrals, and that's the end game. Sometimes you want lots of reviews posted to websites. So there are more options, and they can be very traditional metrics. We've sent out this viral email that we hope everyone will send to their friends via word of mouth, and that will result in so many clicks on the campaign. So that's a traditional measure. But the flip side is we're doing this XYZ, promotion to get people talking about us, and our goal is building brand goodwill. Now, when you evaluate it on that basis, for the cost of one national TV spot designed to build brand awareness, you can do a whole lot of word of mouth.
Your book gives us the 5 T's of word-of-mouth marketing: talkers, topics, tools, taking part, and tracking. Tell me about talkers. Can anyone be a talker?
Talkers are people who are going to spread the word about you. Sometimes they are those just happy customers who show up in your store and show up on your website and email the company. They're the folks who like to do this. Sometimes talkers aren't customers. Ferrari has far more fans who talk about them than they actually have people who buy the cars. Mm-hmm. So now what talkers aren't is your big dollar loyal customers. Just because someone spends a lot of money doesn't mean they're going to want to be bugged when you ask them to tell their friends about you. Mm-hmm. There's no correlation between spend and the kind of personality that gets someone to like making referrals.
Just now you mentioned asking people to tell their friends. How do you do that in a way that's effective?
Well, I'll give you the online and the offline.
Okay.
In a retail environment, those folks at the cash register should be saying to everybody who buys something, don't forget to tell a friend. Your store clerks or your floor personnel should be handing out samples and saying, here's stuff for your friends. You should be encouraging anyone who walks into that store who's got more reason than anybody to see what you're all about, give them the tools and the encouragement to tell their friends. On a website, every website without exception should have a tell a friend button on every single page. It is the single most important thing you can do to get the word out about your site. If someone is looking at a page, whether it's a book or a product or about us, it doesn't matter, and they feel so motivated to advertise you for free to their friends, mm-hmm. make that one click away.
Okay, the second of the five T's was topics. What kinds of topics are we talking about?
So topics are the things you give your talkers that will get them to tell their friends. Topics aren't mission statements. They aren't marketing messages. They aren't, carefully crafted, slogans. Topics are those simple ideas that are absolutely perfectly easy for people to pass along.
How much can you control what people are going to talk about?
Yeah, the more corporate it is, the more marketing it is, the less likely they're going to talk. So part of what I think we consider the genius of Steve Jobs is his ability to say, we didn't talk about operating systems. We didn't talk about, processor speeds. That what we talk about is pink computers and purple computers. And Jones Soda always does this wonderful promotion, which is, they create these crazy nasty flavors of soda every Thanksgiving. Salmon pate and Brussels sprout and all these other just crazy, bizarre flavors. And you take these home and you tell your friends and you share them with the family and everybody tries these silly flavors. And sure enough, we're all talking about Jones Soda. Some of the classic topics are Nordstrom's world-famous return policy. And that's what people tell their friends about.
Okay, the next T is tools. What's that about?
This is where a lot of the online stuff comes in. But there's definitely an offline component also. The tools are all those things, again, that make it easier for a message to travel. So if you've got a great topic, something simple. We're having an amazing 2-for-1 sale. There's a topic that your fans will tell their friends. If you put it on your website, some people might stumble on it. If you put a tell a friend button, now people are forwarding the announcement of that sale to all their friends. So it's much more portable. If you put it in an email newsletter, now it is being forwarded to all sorts of people, and it's incredibly easy for them to pass it along. If you put it in a blog, it's much more linkable than if it was a standalone web page.
And as for taking part and tracking, those are the feedback components to the word of mouth campaign. So how does word of mouth help to facilitate customer feedback?
It's interesting to see how you can launch a new product, and you can have all these great ideas in mind, but what people talk about may have nothing to do with what you put out there for them to talk about.
That must be really frustrating.
Frustrating, but if you're a more, I don't know if this is the right word, but a more relaxed company, you will, you will get people more likely to talk about you. That it's that if you come up with a carpet cleaning spray and it happens to be really good at killing weeds, let people talk about the phenomenal new weed killer you're selling. if you really think you've got some new product that's just the fastest thing out there and people just really like the software instead, talk about the great software and focus on that. And what we're really talking about is companies that learn to listen are more likely to get this kind of feedback. In some ways, word of mouth fundamentally changes the research game. If you think about if you think about traditional market research, you've got two basic tools to get people to, or to get information out of people. You've got the focus group, which is, you know, putting all these people in a room, giving them pizza, and hoping they tell you what they think. It's a very painful way to pull out honest opinions. Or you can use surveys, which are equally awkward. And you've got, you, if you ask just the right questions to just the right people, you're going to find out what they think. But you got to get both of those things absolutely perfect. And then all of a sudden, about 2 years ago, the entire population started writing on blogs and message boards and reviews. So we've got tens of millions of people putting out, in their own words, in writing, electronically searchable, what they're really thinking. So suddenly, the fundamental challenge of research, which is finding out what people really think, has sort of been solved. And now the game is much more about using that information and using that data to make intelligent decisions. But we know what people want. So here's the big recommendation. I think every company should get out there and find your lowest paid employee who can spell. And put that person in front of a browser and have them find everyone who has blogged or posted on a message board anything nice about you. Mm-hmm. And just say, hi, this is Steve from such and such a company. We really appreciate your kind words. Thank you very much. And then find everybody who's unhappy for any reason whatsoever and go out there and say, hey, we're really sorry we screwed up. We made a mistake. I'd like to fix it. Here's my phone number. And you'll be amazed what happens when you start going out there and spreading goodwill and making people happy and, you know, joining the conversation as people start talking to you.
We'd like to thank Andy Cernovitz for being with us here today. Thanks a lot, Andy.
Well, thank you very much.
It's time for You've Been Spotted, where we interview random people who are attending a workshop or seminar at one of our 5 executive conference centers. For more information on our executive conference centers and seminars, please visit our website, www.amanet.org. And now here's Kevin Lee.
AMA has over a dozen course offerings for people looking to boost their marketing skills. Today I'm talking to participants in AMA's course on measuring and maximizing marketing return on investment, taught by AMA faculty member Zuhair Sweden, to find out what they're getting from the class.
ROI, return on investment, is critical in especially in today's environment, today's business environment, where accountability is key. In that, it's a way to quantify what you're getting back from the massive spending efforts that typically go on with different marketing campaigns and advertising campaigns. I work in the consumer electronics industry. It'll help us shape our advertising, how to better allocate spending for different media, and what campaigns are driving awareness, favorability.
I am Zuhair Sweden. I've had my whole long career in the area of marketing and the discipline of accountability in marketing and measuring the return that you're getting on the marketing investment that you're going through is an evolving field. It is not pure science yet. There's still a lot of art in it, but the frontiers are evolving and are being pushed. And what I enjoy is being part of the movement to push the frontiers and educating people on the different things that they could do in improving their utilization of their marketing investment and the ability to justify that investment in a more scientific fashion.
Is there like a tool or a technique that you learned in terms of measuring ROI?
Well, the survey information that we've gone through today, yesterday, the net present value is something that I'll definitely use. Those would probably be the two main things. In organizations today, marketing doesn't just have a blank check anymore. You have to justify your spending and show that you're getting results. So it's showing me ways that I can incorporate that in the overall market plans, because it is a pretty broad topic and there really aren't a lot of places to learn about it. It's really something you don't even necessarily learn when you go into an MBA program or an undergraduate program.
It would be great to hear your feedback on this program. So please drop us an email note at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.